So the first home that I can really remember burned down when I was 8 years old. We had gone out. It was Good Friday. We had gone out shopping, and we came back, and everything I owned basically was destroyed. We came home later that day. Our house was already boarded up. All of our ruined belongings were piled out on the front yard, and it was this massive mound of debris in the front yard. And you can imagine, as an eight-year-old, that was a pretty traumatic experience. And it was really my first realization, although I'm not sure I really fully grasped it as an eight-year-old yet, that it was just a house that I lived in. That's all it really was. It was a house. The home was something more. We've been talking about the difference between a house and a home in this series. And the home was the memories that we made there. It was the routines that we had established together. It was my family being together. The house was just that. It was a house, unless we were living in it. It was us that transformed that house into a home. And as we work through the values this month that make Trilogy, Trilogy, we're talking about this place becoming more than a house to you. That Trilogy Church is not just somewhere that you occupy space on Sunday mornings, but that there are memories being made, that there's a sense of ownership and pride that you take in calling Trilogy your home church, that it's home because home is where your family is. And where you find family, that is what transforms a house to a home. Last week, we talked about our first value of new stories, how God wants to continually do new things in your life, that what happened yesterday is not sufficient. God is always wanting to do more, and those new stories that God is doing in your life are meant to be shared so that God can take those new stories that you're sharing and he can do new things in the hearer's life as well, that others might be transformed through what God is doing in your life. And today, we want to talk about another one of our values that drives everything we do, and that value is strong families. Strong families is one of the values that really sets in motion a lot, in fact, most of what we do as a church. From the beginning of Trilogy, I knew that Trilogy was a pretty unique group of people. And I'm not even referring to the fact that the average is 6.8 children per family here at Trilogy, although that's probably pretty close to the mark. It's ridiculously high. I talk to other church planter friends of mine, and, you know, on any given Sunday, you know, if we have 100 people here at church, about 40 to 50 of those are 12 years old and under. It's crazy, folks. And these guys, you know, they're like, well, that's just not normal. I'm like, no, it's not normal. We just have young families with umpteen kids. It's nuts. And so there's just this strong sense of family and an importance placed on making our families strong and healthy. It's not just the large families, but it's the desire to grow strong, healthy families that doesn't come just from me, but from all of us. And so there's been that value here from the beginning. And those who don't have an immediate family of their own have found a family here at Trilogy. And God has brought us together and wired us that way. And today I want to remind us all of why that is important. Why is that significant? And I want to show you a few key steps towards making your family as strong as it can be. Now, I want to just prepare you up front. If I'm talking about strong families, I could probably spend about 3 to 4 months just talking about how to make a strong family on what the Bible has to say. We could talk everything from relationships to obedience to discipline to accountability to resolving conflict. I mean, there's so many different things that we can talk about with regard to strong families and what the Bible has to say about our relationships in a family context. So today, I'm just going to hit the surface of what it means to have a strong family. And then as we progress throughout the year, this is going to be a recurring theme that we're going to bring back and talk about. How does God want to strengthen our families with regard to what it means to value one another, to grow one another, and encourage one another in our relationship with Jesus? And so I know that your family means a lot to you. Your family is significant to you. It's where your closest relationships are. It's where you find security. It's where we learn the most about God and his love for us. At least all of those are supposed to be true. That's the way it's designed to be. But we all know that some families don't play out that way all the time. Sometimes there are families that have dysfunction. And then there are some families where their dysfunction makes your dysfunction look downright exciting. So there's a full spectrum of what it means to have a normal family. And here's the thing. Your normal family is unique to you. I would say we all have normal families because we define our normal by what we've experienced. And so we live in our reality, in our normal. And so what is normal for you is not normal for the person sitting next to you, unless it's your spouse, in which case it probably is the same. But our normal for our family is not normal for yours. And the thing that is important to realize is that family is important. But no matter how much your family matters to you, it matters even more to God. No matter how much your family matters to you, no matter how important your family is to you, it matters more to God. God's value for your family is way higher than you could ever reach. God designed the family. He even patterned the family after the relationship that he has with us. We are called adopted sons and daughters through Christ in Scripture. He created the family as a place for us to grow and to learn more about him. Family is where faith begins. We learn some aspect of faith from our family. Even those who grow up in an atheist home, you learn an aspect of faith, atheism, from your family. So the foundations of faith are established in our family, and we learn about Jesus and the way he wants us to live our lives from a godly family. But here's what all of us need to be aware of. A strong family does not happen by accident. It takes work. A strong family does not happen by accident. You're not going to just put it on cruise control, wake up one day and say, wow, our family is just so stinking strong and growing and it's exciting. And man, I didn't do nothing. No, that's not how it works. That takes investment. It takes intentionality. Just because we have this value of strong families at Trilogy doesn't make that happen. So that's why I'm talking about this today, and it's also why we're developing an entire strategy to help every family at Trilogy to become stronger. And we're just at the beginning stages of getting things in motion for that right now. We're working through the content on it, but later this year, we'll be rolling out a new program to strengthen the families of Trilogy called Home Point. And so Home Point, with the goal of building strong families, has two goals underneath that. Number one, to make it easy. And number two, to make it likely. To make it easy and to make it likely that you will be intentional about making your family stronger. So number one, we want to make it easy. You have enough work to do as a parent. Okay? We understand. Parenting is not easy. Parenting is not just kick back and relax. There's a huge time investment. We want to do everything we can to make the work of parenting and spousing, I don't know what the verb would be there, as easy as possible. And we also want to make it likely that every family will make the investment to become stronger. Not just possible, we want to make it likely that every family in Trilogy will make that investment to become stronger. Because if we're honest with ourselves, if the bar gets too high to jump over, we're probably just going to walk around it. We don't want anything to do with the bar once it gets too high. We want that bar nice and low so we can clear it and move on. And so what we want to do is provide you with some easy wins for you and your family that you can then go a little higher next time and raise that bar a little higher and raise it a little higher and continue to grow stronger as a family. We want to make it easy and likely that you will be an intentional family in growing stronger in your relationships with God and with one another. And so we're going to get this launched as soon as we can. And once we do, one of the things you will notice is we will have a resource center out in the hallway that is designed to resource families. Each and every week, you can go to this resource center and pick up information and pointers for different special circumstances that you may be facing as a family. Things like blended families and how to approach that, dealing with addiction, facing deployment, disciplining younger children, leading a child to Jesus, sexual identity confusion, all sorts of things that parents may not really fully understand. How do I approach this from a biblical perspective? We're going to have a bunch of resources that are out there all the time, and you can take any or all of them anytime you have a need or know someone else who has a need, or you just want to read everything we've got because you want to be prepared for anything that may come down the pipe. So all those resources are going to be out there. There's going to be about 50 different categories represented in those, and those will be an incredible resource to the families of our church. We're also going to have kits called Faith Path for key developmental ages that you get when your child has a birthday. So when your child turns 5 years old, you will get the five-year-old Faith Path kit that will guide you through the next year or two of your child's development as a boy or a girl, and as a follower of Jesus, and it will give you some very specific things that you can do as a parent to invest in them at this stage in their spiritual formation and what that looks like for them right now. And so we want to do everything we can to set you up for success, and I cannot wait to get Home Point up and running and to be a huge blessing to families here at Trilogy. And so that will be coming here in just a few months. We'll have Home Point ready to go, and we'll give you more information. It'll be everywhere, so you guys can jump right into that. But we want to create a culture of intentional families here at Trilogy. Intentional in their investment, intentional in their sacrifice, intentional in their love, because strong families don't just happen, they require work. And so we want every family in the church to be able to echo the words of Scripture from the book of Joshua, Joshua 24:15. But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. I want every family in this church to be able to say that confidently and boldly. Now, I want you to see it. Joshua, the statement was not, but as for me and my family, we hope to serve the Lord. But as for me and my family, we're going to try and serve the Lord. He says, as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. So the question I have for every family in the room this morning is this: will you do everything you can to make your family stronger? And if you will commit yourself to that this morning, I don't want you to answer yes. I want you to answer with intentionality. I want everyone who is willing to commit to that to respond, I will. Will you commit everything you can to make your family stronger? I will. Excellent. You guys are, I now pronounce you husband. No. And what I want to do is finish up this morning by talking about the priorities of family. Not making family a priority, but getting your priorities in order within the family structure, because the Bible teaches us a lot regarding how to live in relationship with one another, and there are no relationships closer than family. So that's what I want to look at for just a few minutes this morning. Matthew 22, 37 to 39. Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself." And so this passage here teaches us some very important concepts regarding priorities concerning our relationships. Here is what we learn: God first, others second, self last. God first, others second, self last. This is the biblical priority of relationship that you should have in your life and also within the context of your family structure. God first, others second, and self last. And so the first priority we find here is put God first. God first. In everything in life, we need to put God first. That's not a surprise. But in our families, this absolutely is non-negotiable. God has to be at the top of the priority list. When we think of putting God first in our families, there's a lot of directions we can take that in. Obviously, we need to ensure that our relationship as a father as a mother, as a husband, as a wife, as a son, as a daughter, as a brother, as a sister, all of those, that our relationship with Jesus is strong and growing. That's top of the list. Acts 16:31. They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." I want you to see that what they said is not just, "We want you to be saved." No, it doesn't end with you. It's you and your household. Everyone in your home is designed to know Jesus and have a personal relationship with him. But some of you have a mom or a dad or a husband or a wife or a son or a daughter who isn't serving God. In fact, I would say there's a good percentage of you in the room who someone in your immediate family is not serving God. Having a divided house when it comes to matters of faith is challenging, isn't it? It can be difficult, sometimes even a little bit painful, on what we have to go through and what we face. I've told the story several times before, so I won't go into all the details this time, but I grew up in a home where my dad was not serving God. He was an alcoholic. And I thank God for my mom who put God first and showed my brother and me the importance of living for Jesus. Because my faith is strong today because of the example that she set for me. Because I didn't have a father who provided that example for me. And if you have a family member who doesn't have a relationship with Jesus yet, pray your guts out for them. I mean, that's the most important thing that you can do. And then ask God to use you to be an example to them. But beyond your individual relationships with Jesus, that's where it starts. How does God impact your daily life in your family? How does God impact your daily life in your family? And I want you to think about this. If someone were to put a camera in your home, forget the creepy factor, but if someone were to put a camera in your home and record a day's worth of activity in your house, would there be enough evidence on that tape to convict you of being a Christian family? If that tape was submitted to evidence in a courtroom because someone had accused you of being a Christian family, would there be enough evidence on that tape to convict you? Guys, we need to put God first. We need to pray together as a family. Pray with your kids as you're putting them to bed. Pray together around the dinner table. Do family devotions together a few times a week. Prioritize it. Make it a habit. And students, listen to me. If this is a desire of yours that you want to have that happen and your parents aren't doing this, ask them. Put the pressure on them. Speak up. Make sure they know you want to do this. Don't let your parents off the hook. Come on. Step up. You guys have power. Not too much power, Ethan. But outside of the spiritual disciplines of reading and praying together, how often does God enter the conversation in your house? As you talk education or politics or entertainment or sports, is God a factor in those conversations? Is he a priority only on Sunday mornings or on every day of the week? This is what it means to put God first. It is the foundation of every strong Christian family. Make sure you put God first. The second thing we see is that we need to have others be second. Now, if you're going to do everything you can to make your family strong, then once you've made sure God is in the first position, then give everything you've got to put the rest of your family next. Make it a goal of yours personally to serve the rest of your family. An other's second mindset means that it's not about you, it's about them. And I know for some of us in the room, there's this huge hill right outside your house, and the hill is called, and you've tried to drive over it, and you just can't make it, and the hill is called yourself, and you just can't seem to get over yourself. Thanks. It's a struggle for you. But we've got to learn that it's not about me, it's about them. It's about the rest of them. It's about their needs being met. It's about them getting to do what they want to do. It's about, and man, this hits close to home for me, it's about them getting the last piece of leftover pizza for lunch and not you. Man, it hurt just saying that. I'm going to have to pray through that one. And if you're a minor right now and you're living with your parents, living in this other's second mindset is simple. It means obeying your parents. I know you don't like me anymore. Now, this is not just me as a parent speaking, all right? This is me as a pastor, because the Bible is crystal clear on this issue. Colossians 3:20, listen to this. Children, always obey your parents, for this pleases the Lord. That's a drop the mic moment there. I mean, you don't have to say anymore. Children, always obey your parents, for this pleases the Lord. I know your parents are old. They are out of touch. They don't get it. They like weird things. Okay? It's just the reality. But Colossians doesn't say that's an out clause for you. It says always. So deal with it. It's what the Bible says. Now let me flip the card over for you. If kids' way of putting their parents second, remember, God is first, so we put our family second. If the kids' way of putting their parents second is to obey always, then the parents' way of putting their kids second must mean letting them have some fun, right? Loosening up the reins a little bit. Let's see what the Bible has to say. Ephesians 6:4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. So how do we as parents prioritize our kids above ourselves? By teaching them and disciplining them. Here's the thing. Parents, putting your kids before you means sometimes doing things that make them not be pleased with you. Putting your kids as more important than you and serving them means being willing to do things that's going to get them on your bad side. Telling them they can't stay out late, go to a certain person's house, watch a certain movie. Here's the thing. That's not being a bad parent. That's called being a parent. And that's what the Bible tells us we are supposed to do. Selfish behavior is letting children do whatever they want so they will like you, or so your life will be easier. I know there's parents and their children in the room, so this is kind of an awkward moment. All right, everybody's just going to have to agree. Just let it go. But parents, you are not your child's best buddy. You are their parent. Act like it. Selfish behavior is letting them do whatever they want so they will like you. The tough choice and the loving choice is to put biblical and well-balanced barriers in their lives. And well-explained barriers in their lives. Don't just arbitrarily create rules and say, hey, you got to follow this. Why? Don't ever default to the because I said so. Please, put a little more effort into it than that. Because the Bible says so. Much better. But explain why. Explain from a biblical and from a practical perspective why you are lovingly putting these guidelines in place. How do we determine what those barriers should be? How do we determine what those plumb lines should be for our children? Put every request through this filter, Philippians 4:8. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Guys, if what your child is asking to do can be passed through that filter and come out the other side unchanged, I think you're good. The problem is there's not much in our society today that passes through that filter, okay? We were talking in the men's Bible study this week about how so many of the bad habits that adults have in their lives got their start when we were kids. You know, the patterns develop from a very young age, and guys could point to what they were allowed or even encouraged to do as a child and how it led to years of having to undo and unlearn what they experienced as a child. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Direct your children onto the right path, and when they are older, they will not leave it." Guys, now I'm not going to get, you know, like into the nitty-gritty, you need to do this and you can't let your kids do this. You're a parent. You make those decisions. Get out your Bible. Pray about it. Determine what God wants you to do for your family. Now, if you come to me and you say, "Hey, Pastor Jeff, what do you do with your kids in these areas?" I mean, I can talk all day about some of the safeguards that we've put in place. I mean, with digital technology being what it is, I'm telling you, every day you're playing catch up. It's nonstop. But one of the things we did from a very practical level, and I'm not prescribing this for you, I'm just telling you what our experience is, you know, some of our kids have an iPad, or, you know, our 16-year-old Ethan just got his first iPhone. Come on now. He's our first child that we have allowed to have a phone, which is a scary moment. But what we did, and I trust Ethan, I trust this kid is a responsible young man. He is. He's awesome. But, sorry, I didn't prepare him for this. But we took his phone and we went into the settings and we disabled a web browser on that phone. So he has no access to the web browser. He has no access to YouTube on his phone. Any app that he installs, it pings my phone for approval. So he can't even install apps on his own. So his connectivity to those types of things is limited to going through us still. And we have computers in the house that are in a public area where he can sit down and he can go on a website and do what he needs to do. So we have accessibility, but we don't allow it on a device that could be taken into a room or to a friend's house and surfing and do all that stuff. So it's just a practical, you got to be practical and you've got to try to get ahead of what's out there to protect our kids. And the most powerful way of helping our children make right choices and honoring God, make right choices yourself. Don't tell them, "Hey, do what I say, not what I do." 1 Corinthians 11:1 says, "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." That is a great verse for parents to live by. Set the example for your children in purity, in excellence, in the way you treat one another. Put others second. It just works. God first, others second, and finally, self last. Humility. This is love. This is the steroids that will make our families stronger than ever before. It's also the most difficult thing to do. Philippians 2:3 says, "Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves." Why did Paul write this? Because that's all of our natural tendency, to be selfish, to get our way, to make sure our needs are met. But God tells a different story in the Bible. If every one of us worked extra hard to make sure other people's needs were met by putting ourselves last, we'd all get our needs met. If every one of us just said, "I'm going to make sure the needs are met in every person around me," we'd all be good. But the problem, there's always one selfish person in the mix who messes the whole thing up. We all need to be selfless and put ourselves last. Strengthen your family by putting yourself last. But here's the real challenge. It's not just you and personally, individually, but our entire family needs to adopt an us last mindset, not as individuals, but as a family. And as the team come back up, I want to tell a story about a church in the Bible. There's a church in the Bible that was known for its good works, for working hard, for perseverance in the faith. It doesn't tolerate wickedness. It's been through hard times and not buckled. It never gets tired of defending the faith. This church is dedicated, knows the word of God, memorizes it, defends the faith of its heritage, challenges other churches and individuals who are slipping from the truth. Sounds like a pretty good church, doesn't it? This church was gifted with talent and power. It did great things, but it fell short. It fell way short because it was without love. In fact, God's had some pretty intense things to say to this church. It's written about in Revelation 2. It's a letter Jesus dictated through John to the church in Ephesus. And Jesus basically tells this church to get it right or it will be destroyed. Why? They were doing all sorts of things. They were doing, but they were not loving. The church that focuses inward instead of facing outward is going nowhere. And the same, I believe, holds true for families. The family that focuses inward instead of facing outward is going nowhere. We have to, as a family, maintain an outward focus. Not just us, but those around us as well. We need to have an outward focus towards the people that are in our family with us. But then as a family, we need to look outward and say, whom is God calling us to be a witness to reach? What missions opportunities has he placed in front of us? How are we serving those around us? Not just insulating ourselves, not circling the wagons and saying we've just got to protect ourselves and hunker down until Jesus returns. But as a family, we have to be outwardly focused and missional in our approach. Sorry, Ethan, this is your day, man. I'm picking on you again. The other day, Ethan walked into my office and he says, "Hey, Dad, I just wanted to ask, did we miss the deadline to sign up for baseball? Because I really want to play fall baseball." And we had missed the deadline to sign up for fall baseball. And I said, "Dude, I'm so sorry. We missed the deadline. It was like a week ago. There's nothing we can do." And he was visibly upset. I mean, he was shaken by this news. And I didn't even know he wanted to play baseball all that bad. And I said, "Dude, I'm so sorry. I didn't know." And I said, "We can, you know, look toward the spring and you can play in the spring." And we just kind of talked through the whole thing. And he goes, "You know, it wasn't really baseball specifically. It's just that everything I do in life from, our homeschool and our co-op and our church and my friends, everything I do, I'm always surrounded by other Christians all the time. And I want an opportunity to be a light. I want an opportunity to share Jesus with people. And I thought baseball would be a way to do that." You want to talk about a proud papa moment, church? Yeah, that felt really, really good. And so we're looking at other creative ways to get him some opportunity. Not that he doesn't like his Christian friends, okay? So you guys that are sitting around him, you're like, "Dude, what am I, a chopped liver?" No, I mean, but he wants that opportunity to share his faith. He feels that calling. And here's the thing. That is caught, not taught. They need to see that in action. They need to hear it regularly as you talk and pray about it. And not just from us as a family. They get it from Pastor Jordan and the other youth leaders in our Trilogy student ministries. And he hears it on a regular basis, this need to focus outward and to reach out and to help other people see and experience God's love the same way that he has. And he felt it and said, "Yes, I need to do that. There's just nobody around me. So something has to change." And here's the thing. That's what our families need to be doing together. We need to understand that outward-facing, missional living is not an individual calling only. It's a family calling as well. And as we close, I want to give you this thought. The only way to truly put yourself last, to live with humility, and enjoy your life is to understand God's love for you. That's how it happens. When we truly understand the depth of how much God loves us and the sacrifice that Jesus made for us, we don't need to focus on loving ourselves because God's love is sufficient. We understand that it's not my self-worth that matters, but the worth that God places on me is equivalent to Jesus. And I'm sorry, there's nothing I can ever do to make up that. And some of you here this morning need to discover or rediscover God's love for you today. The reason your family is broken, the reason your family isn't as strong as it could be, is because you and possibly others in your home need to fall more in love with Jesus. That's the first intentional and purposeful step that you need to make to see health and strength and wholeness experienced in your home. And I want to give you that opportunity this morning to fall more in love with Jesus today. Would you guys bow your heads with me all across this room? and just stay in an attitude of prayer for a moment this morning. We've talked about family and the importance of family and how we can strengthen our families. And as I said, this is just a surface treatment of what it means to have a strong family. But the foundational moment is you falling in love with Jesus, beginning that relationship with him and being forgiven and walking in that forgiveness and understanding God's love for you. And some of you need to discover that love for the first time, and some of you need to rediscover God's love for you today. And so I want to pray for you this morning before you leave. And if you're here and you would say, Jeff, I'm in that situation where I need to rediscover or discover God's love for me today, because I know that that's the first step. That's the first intentional and purposeful step that I need to make to see all those things be restored to my family. And if you would like to reach out to Jesus today, I want you to know the Bible says that Jesus is already reaching out to you. He's not hiding somewhere waiting for you to come find him. He's knocking at the door saying, hey, open up, I'm ready. I want relationship with you. And so you have an opportunity in this moment to open that door. You see, there is no, well, I'm just going to wait. You see, because Jesus is knocking on the door right now, and Revelation tells us that, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me, I will have relationship, is what the Bible tells us there. Jesus is knocking at the door. So you have two options. You can either open the door and respond to Jesus, or you can reject Jesus and tell him to go away. And you have that choice. But you're making one of those two choices this morning. And so I just pray that you would respond to Jesus and reach out to him and allow him to forgive you this morning. See, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about being forgiven and restored to right relationship with God, recognizing that we can't do it on our own. So if you're here this morning and you would say, Jeff, that's me, I want to respond to Jesus this morning. I want to invite him into my life, and I want to begin that relationship or rediscover his love for me. I pray for you this morning. Would you just respond to him right now and just lift your hand and say, yeah, that's me. I want to respond to Jesus this morning. Pray for me, and I will. Thanks. Anyone else? God speaking to you this morning. Thanks. Somebody else, God speak into your heart today. Don't walk away from him. All right, would you stand with me all across the room? I'm going to pray for those that responded this morning. I'm also going to ask that if you're here and you've got needs in your family, guess what? Every one of us does. I want you to specifically call out to God for those needs as we close in prayer this morning. Just begin that process of calling out to God and asking him to restore strength to your family. Let's pray. God, I thank you for the gift of our families. And Lord, I understand that the most important family we have is not our immediate family, but God, it's your family. That we have been forgiven, we have been set free, we have been adopted sons and daughters into your family is what Scripture calls us when we get right with you and we receive the forgiveness that Jesus has for us. And Lord, I pray for these two individuals who lifted their hands today and acknowledged, Jesus, I need to rediscover your love. I need to have a more personal relationship with you. And Lord, I pray that in this moment as they just personalize it and they verbalize it and they tell you that, God, would you come into their lives and forgive them and set them free and transform them, God? Let that relationship be more personal and more powerful than it has ever been before in their past. No matter what they've experienced, no matter what they've seen, God, let this moment be transformational for them. God, I thank you for what you're doing in their hearts and lives right now. And God, let that be the foundation for where you're leading them as an example in their family. And God, every person in this room who's crying out to you right now on behalf of their family, Lord, I pray that you would meet them at their point of need. And God, strengthen every family that is represented in this room today. God, I pray against dysfunction. I pray against bitterness. I pray against addictions in this room. God, I pray against all these things that could be there that are sidelining what our families are supposed to be and intended to be. And God, I pray that you will bring wholeness and strength and health and healing. God, I pray that our families would be stronger than they have ever been before. And God, let it be a launch pad for what you want to do through us to see others experience life's change as well. God, we are excited for where you're leading us. God, we will follow wherever you want us to go. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's worship together one more time. I'll see you guys Tuesday night at the prayer service.